No matter what happens, no matter what anybody says, Jesus still cares for us. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to Habakkuk chapter number 3. We're entering the last chapter of this short book. It will take us a few weeks to go through that. And then that will lead us up to our missions conference. And after our missions conference, we will begin another Old Testament book. And we're still praying about what that one is. I think the Lord's leading to another minor prophet, another shorter book to go through. But tonight, let's focus here on Habakkuk. We talked about how this has been a conversation between the prophet and God. And we come to a spot where there has been a change in Habakkuk's life. Habakkuk at the beginning was saying, God, how long must I cry? Why are you not listening? There's sin all around me and you're doing nothing about it. And then God responds, I'm doing something and you're not going to believe what I'm going to do. And then he talks about how he's going to bring the Babylonians or the Chaldeans down. And then Habakkuk says, you can't do that. They're more wicked than we are. How can you use somebody more wicked to punish us? And he says, look, I'll stop. I'll get up to my watchtower and I'll sit and watch. And then God responds to him. And in the last chapter, he shows him, yes, this is what I want you to do. I don't want you to question me. He says, I want you to walk by faith. The just shall walk by faith. And then he goes and he begins to describe these five woes. He's going to show them that Babylon is not getting away with anything. And he describes that Babylon is going to falter. They are going to be judged. And then at the end of verse number 20, at the end of the chapter, he says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And here in verse number, chapter 3, verse number 1, we see Habakkuk's response as a prayer, it says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known, and wrath, remember mercy. Now, this is a glorious change here that has happened in his life. At the beginning, he's saying, call fire down. You know, these guys need to be punished. These guys need something to happen to them to wake them up. And then he's silent and for a little while and he listens to God and he hears God and his speeches change. In other words, God answers him. God says to him, look, Habakkuk, I want you to stay in your watchtower. I want you to walk by faith. I want you to trust in me. You think that I'm not doing anything about the sins of my people, but I am. I'm preparing the Babylonians. They're going to be used as I use the Assyrians against the northern kingdom. They are going to be the rod of my anger. But when I am through with the Babylonians, I'm going to judge them and I will judge them in a righteous basis. And he shows them those five woes in chapter number 2. It's an interesting thing how Habakkuk has changed now. He had got a good picture. He's got a good understanding of God. And when he sees it, he says, I've heard thy speech and I was afraid. Look what he says in verse number 2. I heard thy speech and was afraid. Well, he thought God wasn't doing anything, and now he thinks maybe God's doing too much. He's asking for mercy. I don't know about you, but it doesn't sometimes seem like God is doing much today. And remember when we talked about in the book at the beginning how we try to apply it to the day and time we live in? We cry out like Habakkuk. We throw up our hands, God, keep on talking, keep on talking. There's all this wickedness around me. It doesn't seem like you're doing anything. Doesn't seem like you care. But if we would learn to walk by faith, and if we learn to get up into our watchtowers, and if we would learn to ask God to show us and help us, I really think if we could see behind the scenes, if we could ascend up to the heavens and see what God is doing and how God is working, I think many of us would be like Habakkuk saying, Lord, remember mercy. There is wrath coming. There is judgment that's coming. But God, we need mercy too. That's what happens here. Habakkuk goes from the point of chapter number 1 saying, we need judgment. Now he's saying, man, I see what you're doing, God. Lord, remember you're a merciful God too. I think it's a heart cry here. And it's a Habakkuk's cry. And it's a cry for revival. This is the greatest need of this hour is revival. It's the church's responsibility to evangelize the world. And that is God's people's responsibility. There's a difference. We must take the message of Jesus Christ to every creature. That's not a man-made idea. That's Jesus who said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But revival involves the people of God. I believe a good definition for revival is God's people getting their hearts stirred by having a new obedience, a new beginning of obedience to God. It's when our heart is stirred to begin once again to obey God, a new beginning of obedience to God and saying, God, whatever it is you want, whatever you desire, I want that to be revived in my heart and my life, and we need this new beginning. And this is where Habakkuk comes. He sees God. He's having this conversation back and forth with God. And chapter number one, it kind of says, God, this is what I think you should do. You cannot do this. And he reminds God about who he is. And he reminds God, this is the God I thought I knew. Then he shuts up. He says to God, and he says, I'm going to go sit up on my watchtower. He says, I know that I'm wrong. I know you're going to reprove me, but show me what you're trying to do. And then he sees and he understands that God's working and God's always moving. And he says, Lord, revive thy work. You look here in verse number two. Oh, Lord, he comes to the spot and he realizes who he is. He sees him in a different light. I have heard thy speech. And there's a difference here. He tells him his speech at the beginning. In chapter number one, he tells him that it's going to be the Chaldeans or the Babylonians, whichever one you want to call them. And Habakkuk doesn't like it. He begins making a complaint. He doesn't get it the first time, so he goes back, and then now he's finally saying, look, I have heard thy speech, and I was afraid. Oh, Lord, revive thy work. And that's an interesting statement because it says the word thy. We got to remember this. This is God's work. This is God's people. He can do what he wants to. He cares about these people. I think sometimes we got to remember that when we come to the church house. I have a number of people who like to say, this is your church because I'm the pastor. And I understand what they're talking about there. I look at them many times and I say, no. I'm not the only one in this. It says, this is our church when I'm talking to a church member. And I says, more importantly, this is God's church because it's God's work. And so I don't really like it when somebody says, this is your church. And I know what they're saying because I'm the leadership there that I have to get the responsibility of directing things. I understand that. And I says, no, don't leave me out to dry. It's not all mine. It says it's yours too. The good, the bad, the ugly, it is our church. And now, remember more importantly, it's God's church. And when you see him, Habakkuk begins, this is a heart cry for revival. And he says, revive. This is referring to the nation of Israel. These are God's chosen people. And when we talk about revival, the great need in our world today, we're talking about a revival of Christians. It's hard to it's impossible to have revival if you've never been saved in the first place. There's nothing to read part of it. It's a new experience, a new life, a new willingness to find obedience. And he says, in the midst of the years, and there's a couple of people who think a couple ways of looking at that phrase. It is used numerous times in the Bible, but at this point in time is referring, I think it's the only time in the Bible it refers to an actual period of time. And Habakkuk is saying, in the midst of the years. Some preachers, and I like this thought, is Habakkuk is saying, in the midst of the years, talking about in his generation. Lord, in my time, revive thy work. And it's not just bring revival to your people. It's Lord, in my time, in the midst of the years. Some people think it's in the midst of the years because if you go back and you look at Noah and you look at the time period where Habakkuk is now, you're probably looking at somewhere about 24, 2500 years and you go from Habakkuk to where we are today, same type of time period. He thinks he's in the midst of it. And if Jesus Christ is going to come back here recently, soon, then that could be a comparison for that too. Doesn't really matter. But he is begging God and he is saying in the midst of the years, he's saying, I want to see it. Please bring revival. And then he goes, in the midst of years, make known. What does he want made known? He wants God to be made known to this people. He wants them to understand. He wants people to learn what he has learned, what he has saw, and he wants people to take that reverence of God. Because you're going to see at the end of this chapter, you've got a changed man. Chapter number one, verse number one, you got a guy who is a little bit prideful, a little bit guy who feels like they need to tell God something. But here you see him on his face begging to God and saying, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Here's three things. And then we're going to finish up with a final thought. The burden for revival. The burden for revival. You see what it says in verse number one, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet unto Shigionoth. I don't know if I said that word, but I do know what it means. As an expression of a profound and strong emotion. It means that the prophet came with a heart so burdened and so broken that he could not go anywhere but to God. And here's the point. When we come to revival, when we come to a need, we understand we have to get to God and that nothing else will do. When we come to the moment when we are so sick and tired of ourselves and we realize that nothing else is going to fix us, nothing else is going to bring this except for God Himself. And we must have what God and God alone can do. You know what that causes us to do? It causes us to pray. And this is what brings the burden of revival. It's when we finally say, I can't do it on my own. I am tired of my relationship with God and the way that I am so... Like Habakkuk was saying, God, what are you doing here? It's when we fall and say on our face and we seek God's face and say, Lord, we're turning to you. Lord, here's my opinion. I know it's wrong. I am going to be quiet and I'm going to let you do a work. You know, it's being disturbed by the fact that we're disturbing. It's the idea of being burdened. About how much we ourselves are troubled. Then what do you mean, Pastor? I says, I am no more disturbed with anybody else than I am with myself. I am no more troubled about anybody else than about myself. Because I know me. I know what I need. I know that I need revival. I know I need God. I know I need to have a burden for revival. And we can sit there and we can point everybody else, but when I look at myself and I see how much I want to be closer and how I'm not satisfied and I'm not happy because I want more of God, I want to know more God, and I want more revival to happen in my life. See, people can talk about revival. They always know. You go and you hear about it. You hear people preach about it. You hear people talk about it, and it's a good thing to speak about, but revival becomes between you and God. It's not a church that has revival. Now, if some people inside the church have revival in their own lives, that will many times spill over. But people talk about it everywhere. And I believe God wants to send revival. You look at it. It's His work. I don't think God's satisfied and happy with the way His work is being done today. And if we will get a burden and we will understand that the only thing that we need is what He can provide us. And we get a burden for God to do what only God can do in our lives. We come to the spot and say, God, I am sick and tired of my apathetic Christian life. I don't want to be complacent. I want to rise up. I want to build. I want to get a burden to see the need for building, and I want a revival in my own heart and say, Lord, help me understand. Everything I need, only you can provide. I need you to do this for me. I need this in my heart. I need my heart stirred. I need my life changed. And that's not going to happen anywhere else but through you and your word. See, this is the burden for revival. This is what we need to catch and say, you know what? I want to change. I need to change. I want God's help. We can look at everybody else and say, you know what? That person needs revival. That person needs help. Revival becomes between me. I think that you can have revival in your heart and your church not get it. I think that you can have revival within a few people and not everybody would understand it. Because revival is when God rekindles and revives that spirit inside of you. Not only is the burden of revival, let's see the basis of revival. The basis of revival. And it's pretty simple. Right here. Oh Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. See, the fear of God is a vital part of revival. Habakkuk says, I was afraid. He was speaking of sinful men. You know, he was speaking of himself, that he saw what God was doing. He finally listened to God. He finally saw God who for he is. He got that proper vision. You know what the problem is? Why we don't have revival today? Is there is no fear of God before their eyes. When God was speaking of sinful men in Romans chapter number 3, he says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And the reason why I think that many people do not have revival today, that is talking about a sinful man, but I'm talking about a Christian and a believer. There many times is no fear of God before their eyes. We can be like the church of, like Ezekiel, when they said that they heard with their ears. They even said to the pastor, that was a good sermon, and then their heart was far from them. They would never consider doing it. Like the church of Laodicea, they thought that everything was fine. They were filled up. They didn't need anything. But they were wretched and they were needed so much. The basis for revival is a true fear of God. It's that proper vision. It's that seeing Him. Habakkuk got up in that watchtower and he listened to God, and God says, Who are you to tell me what to do? The just. Now, those that are rising up in pride, they do things differently. But the just shall walk by his faith. Now, Habakkuk, listen to what I'm doing. And Habakkuk heard it, and it changed his life. Why is it that when we hear the word of God, it doesn't change our lives? Why is it when we read the word of God and read the Bible, we're like Habakkuk? God, you can't do it that way. I see what you're saying, God, but you're wrong. God, you can't use the Chaldeans or the Babylonians to punish us. God, I'm not going to believe that. There must be a fear of God. This is the building block for revival. This must be the stirring that our heart, that's going on in our heart. Habakkuk realized what was going to happen to his nation. His heart was stirred. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is coming back. And this is certain, that someday he will come back. But what in this book do we listen to? Do we have a fear of God and a reverence? This is God's word. And this is what I'm going to listen to. This is what I'm going to obey. This is what's going to change my life. My friends might say something different. My family might say something different. This person might say something different. But I have a fear of God. I'm going to live according to his word. See, my life will come to an end someday in this world. I know this is true. If we ever intend to do anything for the Lord, we better do it now, because we do not know how long. And the basis for revival is God's people praying and calling on him, because we know that only he and him alone can truly bring us revival. But where does it start? When we get the right perspective. When we have the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The next thing, the blessing of revival. The blessing of revival. You see here, the end of the verse. I love this phrase. In wrath, remember mercy. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. He recognized that wrath could not be removed. He saw here that God had planned on doing this, and we cannot change to wrath. I think that God is merciful, and you know what? There's many times when God will hold back his wrath, but God will punish wicked people. In the midst of the wrath, he says, Lord, please remember mercy. This is the hope of church. This is our hope, is that God will be merciful to us. This means if he does not clean up everything in our town, if he doesn't clean up everything in town, you know what? He's still able to bless us. He's still able to bless our ministries. He's still able to use us to be a blessing. In the midst of wrath, he can still remember mercy. You know what? We see a world that is going haywire and declining. There's things running rapid in our world today. God's going to judge someday. But God, please remember mercy. This is a blessing of revival. In the midst of all this wrath, God can and will remember mercy. This is what revival is for our hearts, is when we see him working in us in such a dark world. And that's what Habakkuk is saying here. Remember mercy. So you see the burden, you see the basis, and you see the blessing of it. But what does revival look like? What does revival look like? We must understand from the very beginning that revival is between the individual and God. If we do not have revival, it is our fault. It is not God's fault. I believe God wants to send revival to every single Christian's heart. I believe God has a desire for all of us to have a burning desire, a fire lit in us that continues to want to know more and more about him. It is a personal matter. I can have revival, whether the church is having it or not. Revivals do not come first to churches. They come first to individuals, and then they spread through churches. But what does revival look like? See, we got to remember God desires to do a work through us. God wants us individually. Habakkuk is standing on the eve of this destruction and devastation. And he understands that revival is the only hope that this nation has. Revival means a greater devotion to Christ. Revival will mean a greater devotion to Christ. If we see a proper image of God, if we get the fact that we fear God, we're going to be devoting our life more to God. If revival really happens to us, and we want to look at, okay, what does revival look like in its boots, or when it's in this world, it's going to mean that we're going to have a higher level of devotion to Jesus Christ. When revival comes, people will be willing to serve the Lord because they are devoted to Christ. They are saying, I fear God. I see what he's trying to do. I know that my life is only this period of time. He's only given me this much time. I'm going to give my life completely over to him. Revival will increase the labor force for Christ. We need people to get involved in serving. We need people who are going to be working for the Lord. And we need people who are going to be trained. And if you're a part of the family of God, everyone should assume some of the workload. But a person who has revived, a person who is revival, is not trying to get out of work. They're going to have saying, I see the purpose of the ministry. I see the purpose of the church. What can I do to help? Revival will cause a greater interest in the Lord's work. You're going to be more interested in the things that God is interested in. And what is God interested in? He's interested in souls. He wants to see people saved. He wants to see people discipled. He wants to see people baptized. This is desire. The longer I live, the more I understand the importance of focusing on what's important. This year, I've been challenged a little bit since the beginning of the year, and I've been shown in my own heart, in my own life, that I need to make sure that I'm choosing what's best things to spend my time on. There are a lot of good things you can spend time on, but focusing on what is the best things and understanding what the best things are and being willing to say, if I don't have time for the other things, to say no to the other things. I'm very happy and I enjoy my life, but sometimes we must narrow down our interests. We cannot do all we would like to do. We cannot behave ourselves frivolously. Instead, what does God want me to do? We must say, revival is going to be someone who is interested in doing what is important in this world. Now, don't get me wrong. I think family is important. Don't get me wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with having a time of rest and having a time of relaxation, having an opportunity for your body to recoup. I understand that. But what is it that we focus on? What is it that we spend our most time on? What is it that occupies our thoughts? A revival in our life will take care of this. A revival in our heart will say, I must eliminate the good things for the best things because I need to stay focused on Him. And I'm trying to learn how to develop a schedule. I'm trying to learn how to figure out, I have all these things I want to do. I have all these things I want to be a part of. But I need to understand that everything's got to be in its time and in its place. And that begins with letting God control my heart first. And once God controls my heart, He sets those things in motion. Revival will bring zeal for the Lord. It will bring zeal for the Lord. We must have the zeal to take advantage of the unparalleled opportunities that have been given to us every day. Many doors are open before us, but because we have no zeal, we do not take advantage of them. We need zeal to take advantage of the opportunities God is giving us in this hour. And if we have revival, it will bring a deep satisfaction, a wrestling with God, a discontentment with self and with who we are. And we want to know Him more. We would be zealous about it. We'll say, hey, I want God and I want to know Him more. So as we think about this, I like the story and I like where He comes to this spot. Habakkuk, he says, Lord, why aren't you doing anything? God shows him. He doesn't like what God says. Then he responds, I'm going to sit and I'm going to listen. And then God says, I want you to walk by faith. And then God begins to speak to him about what he's doing in Babylon, what he's done in Israel. But at the end of chapter 2, verse number 20, he says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. God is on the throne. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Who are you to question who God is? And Habakkuk understands and sees. He falls on his face. He comes to God with a great burden, comes to God with a great desire. And he says, Lord, I get it finally. I've heard thy speech. I am afraid, Lord. I see what you're trying to do. I see the work that you're trying to accomplish. Lord, revive thy work. He says, Lord, don't give up on us. Lord, in my days and in my life, Lord, please bring revival. In my days and in my life, Lord, make yourself known. In my days and my life, when you're going to bring this wrath, remember mercy. Remember to show mercy to those who are loving you and those that are serving you. I love reading stories. There are stories about D.L. Moody was part of one of the great missionary drives of all time. He was there when the college students from 68 different colleges came and they heard the preaching and teaching, and someone pressed an emphasis for missions, and 100 young men got up and they said, I'll go anywhere God wants me to go to preach the gospel. And from that, they got one back to the colleges, and it talked about how that number went from 100 to 2,500 2,000 men, 500 ladies. Then that number went to 10,000. And by a number of span, I think it was 5 to 10 years that there was over, I think it was 250,000 different missionaries on the field because of that one meeting. Because revival got into their hearts. It's great to hear stories like that. But I don't know about you, but in the midst of the years, I like to see it happen in my generation. I like to see it happen in my own heart on a regular basis. I want more. And that's what Habakkuk is saying here. Lord, make it known. Do we really want revival in our hearts and life? Does it really mean something to us? Habakkuk got it because Habakkuk went to God, didn't understand. God responded. He went back to God. Then he was willing to be quiet and listen to what God had. And God said, this is where you're wrong. And Habakkuk says, I get it. I see what you're saying. I hear your speech. And I was afraid. I see what your word is saying, and I don't want to live that way anymore. I want to change this. In the midst of the years, revive thy work. In the midst of the years, make known. But when you allow all these things happen, Lord, please show mercy too. What is mercy? It talks about not getting what you deserve. Habakkuk went from being a guy saying, there's wicked people all around me. Come down here and do something about it. To a guy who's saying, Lord, be merciful to this nation. Because if we would go back and we could see what God could see and what God is doing, I think we would be very concerned for our nation. I think our altars would be filled. I think our churches, Christians would be revived. And they would say, God, I see what you're doing, but God, please send mercy. God, please do something. But where does it start? It starts in us. Let it start in me. Revival begins with God's people. No, the people that are in the world need to change. No, our churches need to change. So that way they can bring and teach the word. Our problem in our days aren't found on in the White House as much as the projects or over in these countries that are anti-God. Churches have the answer. They need revival. We need revival. So we can take the gospel and we can help change lives. But we like to say, they're the problem. Our hearts are the problem many times. We need to change our hearts so God can use us to change other people's lives. But where does it start? It starts in me. Where does revival begin? It begins in us. The theme of our youth conference at the end of the year that teenagers went, it was, let it start in me. And that was the theme that, I can't worry about everybody else. I can't fix everybody else. Sometimes I like to think I can fix people, but I can't. I guess let it start in me and then let God do what he wants. Let it start in you and then let God work through you. And let God do what he wants. Remember, he's sitting on his temple. Let all the people in the earth be silent. Just let him do his work. Let him use you. But it begins with having revival in your own heart. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.